This is the Janet Murray Show, episode 282.
You're listening to the Janet Murray Show. Tune in every week for practical marketing advice that will help you make more money in your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. This episode is a live on-air coaching call with Heidi Wall, the founder of Boutique Brownies. And in this episode, we tackle a question that Heidi has, but I know a lot of you have the same question. And that is, what should I put in my email newsletter? So if you're listening to this as you're driving, as you're walking your dog, you're at the gym, you're washing up, you're cooking, I know lots of you tell me they're the sorts of things that you do when you are listening to the podcast, then you may want to go back and listen again because we share lots of practical tips and ideas in this episode. And if you are interested in working with me and getting me to help you to learn how to promote your business more effectively, then my membership, it's known as the Love Marketing Membership these days, that is the main way that you can work with me. So I work with members every day and they have both product and service-based businesses to help them to learn how to promote their business more effectively. So amongst other things, we look at blogging, we look at email marketing, we look at social media marketing, and we also look at press. And what I'm really trying to do with the membership, and if you're a regular listener, you'll have heard me talk about this more and more over the last few months. What I'm really trying to do is tie the marketing activities that I'm encouraging members to do or start doing more of to income goals. So what I've actually produced for the membership, and actually you can get your hands on these even if you're not in the membership, is a series of checklists which lay out the marketing activities that you need to do to get to specific income goals in your business. So I've got one for 1K a month, 2K a month, 5K a month, and 10K a month. So I will actually put a link in the show notes. You can get hold of those checklists regardless of whether you're a member or not. But if you do want me to work with you and you want to get access to resources and ongoing support to help you actually put that into practice, then I would suggest that you join the membership. It's usually the way that people start working with me. Some people go on to then work in my mastermind group. Some people end up working with me one-to-one, but it's the first step for most of people. So what I'll do is I'll stick a link to that in the show notes. And as ever, if you have any questions, then just drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk. And now on with the main part of the show. Welcome to the show, Heidi.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So might you be able to start by telling us a little bit about your business?
Yep, I have a business called Boutique Brownies. I bake delicious chocolate brownies at home, which I then package up really nicely and sell them online for a sort of really nice gift for perhaps a friend or a client, someone you want to send a nice gift to, maybe as an alternative flower or something like that.
Okay, and your challenge that you want to try and solve today is, what do I write in my newsletter? So if I'm going to write a newsletter for my clients, what do I write in it? That's right, isn't it?
Exactly, yes. Yeah, no, I've been sort of trying with that one. And there's so many newsletters out there which you receive them in your inbox and you just delete them, or you might glance at them quickly and they're just boring. And I just wanted to make sure that when I do send out a newsletter, it's something that people want to open and want to read.
Yeah, no, and definitely. I think you're so right to be thinking about this, you know, really carefully, because it's really, really important to get right. So yeah. I just want to start by finding out a little bit about your target audience or your ideal client. So from what I understand, from what you've told me in the past, is that you like working with companies. You've got some regular like corporate clients that if they've got event on, or if they want to give gifts or whatever, they'll ask you to make brownies for them.
Yes. Yeah. No. And I also I have a website, and I also sort of send them online. People just go in and order, perhaps just an odd box now and then. Maybe if someone's ill or had a new baby, something like that. So it's sort of two sides, really: the corporate side and then sort of individuals. So, but no, so far it's been working really well.
Okay. So the first thing I would say about your newsletter then is, if you've got two types of audience, you've got different needs, I would really consider having two versions of your newsletter, which might sound like a pain, but
yeah, actually, no, I hadn't thought of that, but that sounds like a good point.
If I'm, I don't know, a mum or a sister or a daughter who's looking for a gift for my friend, I'm going to have very different needs in terms of the content that's going to appeal to me compared to a local business or a medium-sized or large business even that's looking to get gifts made for their clients at Christmas or birthday. So would you say it was a sort of 50-50 split, or do you Do you have one?
I mean, in terms of the time that I spend, probably similar. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, initially I was thinking I was going to concentrate on the sort of more individuals for the newsletter, just because that's something I haven't done an awful lot with so far. But yeah.
Yeah. And in terms of your email list, I know your business is quite new.
Yes.
How many have you got on your email list, and how many of each type have you got?
It's only very, my email list is only very small, sort of around about sort of 40, 50. So it's only very small at the moment. And most of those are just like individual people rather than the corporate side.
Okay. So if you're focused on growing individuals, then I would say then at least to start with, focus your newsletter on those people. And a mistake that I see people making a lot with newsletters is when they're like you and they've got slightly different types of audiences, they try and make their newsletter really generic. But if you try and make it like, you know, to appeal to both sides, you end up appealing to nobody. So
no, I hadn't thought of that point at all actually before. I was just gonna do one size fits all, but it doesn't, does it at all?
Yeah. And you know what you might want to start with is you might just want to start with a newsletter for individuals, and then with the corporates you might want to add something later on, like once you've you know. But actually if that's a side that you want to grow, then I would maybe start with that first and then maybe see. But we can talk about the kind of content that you would put. So the king thing with the newsletter, as you said yourself, like most of us get just so much rubbish. I mean, probably less since GDPR, but we get so much rubbish and most of it, we don't even open it. So if you think about your email inbox, Heidi, what do you open and save in terms of things that you get sent?
I tend to open the things that have got a catchy headline. And I also tend to open the things if I can see some decent pictures.
Right.
And then if just the content does appeal, but sometimes it might be an offer from a company, or it could be just, you know, it could be, say, one of yours and you're saying, you know, let me tell you about this new masterclass coming up or something. And then I'll sort of save it. But so often you just think, oh, no, I really don't want that other email along with the 50 I've already got from that company, that I just, you know, just really delete them without even opening, which could, they could have some really good stuff in there, but they just don't grab me first off.
So I think the key thing is you alluded it to there. So you basically said, oh, if you've sent me an email about a masterclass that I might want to attend, like, because that's useful to me and I might want to know about it, or if there's a, you know, a discount or something like that. When I look at my inbox, I save things that, so Pizza Express, Oasis, Ted Baker. So I mainly save things where they're, you know, where there's something in for me, basically. The other thing I save is to other marketers. So other people who are out there marketing, I save other people's emails because I want to see what they're doing. I want to see what kind of emails they're writing. I want to learn more about their sales funnel. So, but I don't open anything if there's nothing in it for me of value. My interests are probably quite, I open like running emails. So if there's a race that I've taken part in, and this is important, I'm not just rambling on about my inbox, but I think it's important when you're thinking about what kind of newsletter to create for your customer is to actually think about what you open and what your behaviour is, because I think we're all pretty much the same. But yeah, the other types of emails I open are, if I've run a race, because I run and I get an invite to like the next year's race, or I've just run a race and they've got the results, for example, or they've got pictures. And basically the whole theme that it comes back to is we only open stuff if we think there's something of value in it for us that's either going to, you know, make our day easier. So in the case of the marketing emails, if I can see if I can see someone else is doing something good, they're writing good emails, they've got a good title, or I can look at their funnel, that's useful to me because it's going to hopefully help me to improve my practice. With the running stuff, I might just want to look because I was at the race and it was fun, or I might want to book on the next one. With the discounts, again, you know, if Ted Baker's saying it's 30% off tomorrow in the shop, then, you know, that there's something in it for me and I'm going to benefit. So I think that's where you need to start. So if you think about...
I was going to say, I think that's why I found it so difficult, is because I know it's so easy just not to open something.
Yeah.
So you sort of, you want to try and make something that people will really think, oh, that's interesting. You know, I'd like to open that. I want to read it. And then you get stuck because you don't want to be going down the track that lots of other people do and send out all these boring emails all the time. So trying to get the balance.
And I think I would suggest that you aim for, even right from the start, you know, if you're listening now and you're thinking about starting your first newsletter, is what you want is for a newsletter that people actually look forward to, and they're like, oh great, that's Heidi's email, I can't wait to read it. And the one
that's exactly what I want to do.
And you know, the one that I always think of is Sarah Tasker, the Instagram expert. So she was on the podcast episode 93, probably my most downloaded podcast ever. But she has a hashtag newsletter, and when you get it every month, I don't know if she's still doing it now, but I used to like look for it and wait for it, because it was something valuable to me. And I thought, oh great, you know, I can get her hashtags, I can see if she's using them, she's really good on Instagram, they're probably good. So I think that's what you're trying to. So the key thing is to understand about your audience. So I don't have a sort of newsletter as such. I mean, I do have actually one, but I know that my audience, they're just interested in content, and they're interested in valuable content like marketing and PR tips that they can use to promote their business, and it's going to be practical and valuable. So I know that sort of stuff does well. What do you know about your audience in terms of what they're interested in?
Well, I know some of them like baking, they like cooking, they like seeing food, but they also just, they like nice things. Yeah, that's a really good question, actually. I should probably know the answer better to that. And I think this is where I've, as I said before, I come a little bit unstuck, because you try and imagine what you think someone would like, and then I found myself going off on a tangent, thinking, oh no, that isn't really newsletter material. That might be interesting information, but isn't necessarily something that someone would want to receive in a newsletter. That's more of a post on social media or something like that.
So what's the way that you think you could find out what to put in your newsletter?
Yeah, no, that's true. I should ask my customers, shouldn't I? That would be a good plan.
Yeah, so I'm a bit sceptical about surveys and things, because for me, a survey is a pain in the bum. If someone sends me a survey, I think, oh God, I've got to fill out a survey.
Yeah. How long is it going to take?
It's going to be a faff or whatever. But if someone just says to me, like either in person, if you get to meet your customers in person, or just, you know, maybe you could just, I would ideally get them on a Skype call or a Zoom call, like maybe even just ask some of your customers, say you'll give them 10% off the next order or something, if they just wouldn't mind giving you a few minutes, and just talk to them about what they'd like to hear from you. I mean, I'm guessing the kind of things that generally, for your sort of business, a product-based business, now obviously they're going to be keen on offers. So if you've got, like, you know, a 10% Christmas offer, or you've got some information about get your Christmas orders in by now or whatever.
Yeah.
But like you say, they may be interested, if they like buying baked goods, they may be interested in baking. So they might want to have a recipe. So you might want to give them a brownie recipe or something every month. Yeah. They might also be interested if they're gift buyers, because I know I've got some relatives, I don't fall into this category at all, but I've got some relatives who, like, they just love buying gifts, like they're almost like professional gift buyers, and when it's their birthday or Christmas, I feel like they put me to shame, because they've put
I've got a couple of phones like that.
Yeah, they just put so much thought and effort into, like, getting, like, this amazing, like, gifts, and I think, oh, I just bought a voucher or something. I feel really. But if you find that you've got those kind of people in your audience, they're like almost like professional gift buyers, your newsletter could be about, you know, a roundup of, you know, unusual gifts, birthday gifts to buy, or
That's a good idea. I've sort of drafted out one when I was going through trying to come up with a newsletter, just talking about different chocolate gifts, which I thought might be a good one that people might be interested in.
Yeah, and you could do it seasonally. So what I would probably do in your situation, I'd sit down and I'd map out across the year, and you could use something like my media diary to help you.
So
sit down and just think, you know, what are the key sales points for you across the year? So obviously Valentine's Day is going to be a big one for you, but we've got Mother's Day, Father's Day,
Easter, and
Easter. And you could probably have your newsletter could be themed. So basically, you know, maybe the month before. So in January, you might be talking about Valentine's Day gifts. In February, you might be talking about Mother's Day gifts or whatever, or just at the beginning, you know, depending on when it is and your lead times and how long it takes you to turn the products around.
That's a good idea.
You could probably find, you know, for every month, you could have, like, you know, gift ideas. You know, and obviously running up to Christmas, I would probably send more newsletters. I probably would maybe go up to one a week or something.
Because that was another, I wasn't sure how often to send them, because some big companies obviously send them, sort of, you know, every couple of days, some of them, it seems. But obviously, because it's just chocolate brownies, people aren't going to want to have a chocolate brownie newsletter every day could get a bit much.
Yeah, if you're offering extra value and you're offering them help with their gift buying, or if they like baking, if you discover they like baking and, you know, you're offering. You know, but I rather suspect, I'm just guessing here, that your customers might be the kind of people who are interested in unusual gifts. They want to send something a bit more personal, a bit more different. I mean, I don't know, what's your gut from
Yeah, no, that's it really. And a lot of them are people who really like chocolate. So definitely sort of fellow shopaholics, I think.
Okay, So I would be thinking about you know, just theming it so that every month, and then you've always got an offer in it for them as well. You've always got like an incentive for them. I was just talking to, I was doing a consult with somebody earlier who has Helen, who has the children's parties, who's in our membership. And we were talking about, you know, once you've sold to somebody, and this is actually veering off newsletters slightly, but I think we should talk about it, is kind of upselling. So I was saying with the children's parties, you know, when you've done a successful children's party, as you're gathering the information either before or just afterwards, you need to, you know, have they got any siblings? So have they got, you know, a brother or a sister with a birthday coming up? Find out when their birthday is, because then you can start marketing to them ahead. You know, have you booked Ben's birthday party yet? There's only a few months, you know. I'll be wondering about, is there a way that you can build that into your sales funnel, if you like, so that when somebody orders from you, so let's say that somebody in January orders some chocolate brownies for their husband. Actually, my husband would probably like that. then can you then be making them an offer straight away? So as soon as you've delivered their brownies and you send them an email or something to say, you know, how are the brownies? I hoped David liked them or whatever. That you. Oh, and by the way, we've got a really nice selection for Mother's Day. I've got a new recipe, so that you're constantly upselling them or
I've not thought of doing something like that, but that sounds like that would be a good idea.
And it's I know it's veering off your newsletter thing slightly, but you could automate, I don't know, what are you using for your email? So you could automate that kind of thing in MailChimp. So you send you know, what I would do for your clients, this is veering off newsletters, but it is email marketing, is I would just map out the customer journey. So once you've delivered the brownies, you don't want that customer to be a one-time customer. You want them to come back to you. So do you send them an email at the moment where you say, you know, how did they receive? Did you get them okay? How were they or whatever?
No, I have a sort of little card that I've got printed in there that just sort of says, hope you enjoy the brownies. If you'd like to order more, please get in touch. Or, you know, let's do that. Let's know what you think.
Yeah, so what I would create, you know, I'd map this out on a piece of paper basically and think to yourself, okay, so, you know, X days after somebody's received their brownies, can you send a follow-up email just to say, I hope they arrived okay. I haven't heard anything from you, so I'm assuming it was all okay. If you know anything about them, you know, this is where you wouldn't automate. Maybe you might say, you hope David liked them or whatever. And then say, you know, by the way, just wanted to let you know that I'm now taking orders for whatever, and I can offer you a 10% discount if you book this week.
That sounds like something I should definitely put into place, doesn't it?
I'd have them, you know, you could then, you know, then when they make their next order, you can move them on to the next thing. You know, I think constantly email is such a great tool for this, and you can actually automate a lot of this, you know, where they get their follow-up email and you make an offer to them. If they don't take that offer, then you make them another offer. So, you know, you can set up, again, this is more sophisticated MailChimp stuff, but you can just do it completely manually, but when you've just got it diarised, then you just go back to them. If they don't take the Mother's Day option, then you go and you offer them Father's Day, and then you go, you know, so I think you could probably up your sales quite a bit just by putting that upsell process in place.
I'll definitely look at doing that, actually, because, as I say, that's not something I've really thought about doing it before, so it'd be good.
So what are your next steps going to be? So tell me what your next steps are going to be.
I think I need to, what I think I'll do is do a sort of draft, and then with the sort of time of year it is, perhaps sort of concentrate on maybe summer barbecue, something like that, sort of type brownies. I'm just thinking about the time of year going forward.
Yeah, perfect.
For the next newsletter.
Yeah.
And then sort of think about creating those funnels that you mentioned, so I can be saying to people when they receive them, and, you know, can I help you with any more in the future?
Yeah, and do you have any customers you could go to with your summer barbecue idea? Do you have any customers that you could just reach out to and ask and just say, look, I'm revamping my newsletter. This is kind of what I've got in mind. Does that sound like that would be useful for you? Is there anything you'd add or whatever? Is there anyone you can just have an informal chat to just to find out?
Yeah, definitely. But there's a couple of clients that are really good for that, actually, because I do lots of entertaining and things. And I've also got two sisters who like to tell me their opinions too, so...
Do you have a day of the month? Like, is it the first Monday of the month or last Friday of the month or something like that? Or for your newsletter, do you have like a...
At the moment, it's just very random. I haven't been doing anything regularly.
Right. So, I mean, that will be one takeaway for you. I think you must say, right, I am going to send a newsletter out on the first Monday or the last Friday, or map it out over the year, actually put it on your calendar once you've worked out your dates, because it's so easy to... like people, my media diary, we have a newsletter that goes with it. And it goes out on the first Monday, I think, at the beginning of each month. And you can put it together.
Every month off my inbox, yeah.
If it doesn't go out, somebody will get in touch. Like I think we had one day where there was a delay or something. Someone will get in touch and say, where's my media diary newsletter? But you want that because if people are... and actually, I didn't mention that as an example. So if you're listening and you're thinking, well, how do I apply this to my business? So my media diary is an A4 desk diary. It's got key dates and awareness days that you can use to plan out your content. So loads of them last year. It'll be on sale again later in the year if you didn't know about it. But one of the things that we do for that to keep people kind of interested, engaged, is the first Monday of every month, we send out a newsletter with additional dates. So you get your dates in the diary, but what we add is we send out a newsletter saying, here's some dates that you might not have known about, and see some new ones to add. And then we also send information about radio and TV shows, new books that are coming out, things that we wouldn't have known when we were putting the diary together last year. And that does get a really good open rate. It's really good engagement. And people are like pleased to receive it because it's helpful, because they might be sitting there thinking, oh God, like, what can I post on social media today? And then we send them some information about a new film that's coming out or a new book or something like that. And so it's kind of useful, it's valuable, but you can bet your bottom dollar if it doesn't go out, or it was late one day, people will email and say, where's the newsletter? and that
it's a compliment really, I suppose, isn't it? Although it might be you know, might be a bit of a pain if you're a bit behind on it.
No, but it shows that, you know, if you can set something up, you know, with Sarah Tasker's Instagram newsletter, I'm pretty sure there were probably people who, if she was ever late, were like, oh, where's your newsletter? I really want to read it. And I think that's what you're trying to set up is something like that, where people, you know, they always know there's going to be some value in there. There's going to be some ideas for them, maybe a recipe, and definitely some kind of special offer if they come to expect that there's always going to be some kind of discount or special offer, or you know, 2-for-1 or whatever it is that you want to offer, then they're going to open it. One thing we haven't talked about, which we probably just ought to talk about very quickly, is email subject headers and actually getting people to open them. What are your thoughts about that? I know obviously we have resources in the membership on how to do this kind of thing, but what are your thoughts about email subject headers, because they're so important?
I think it's trying to get a balance between something which grabs people's attention, but also something that seems reasonable, if that makes sense. Because sometimes you sort of see these sort of attention grabbing headlines and think, oh, I don't really believe that, or it's too over the top. So I sort of, it's trying to get something between, which sounds like people want to open it, but it isn't so silly that people just ignore it.
Yeah, and I think with email marketing, and you know, this has been my experience of kind of many years of experience, is that you have to be quite creative, because there's a lot of competition in people's inboxes. And if you just post something out like Brownie News, which I'm sure you probably wouldn't do, Heidi's Brownie Newsletter or whatever.
Yeah. No. Actually, I had one the other day called Cat Table Mats. I wasn't quite sure what to do with that one. But that was literally it.
Yeah, so I think you need to kind of come up with something. So there's various ways that you can go with it. So I've got quite a lot of resources on this, but you can ask a question. So, you know, you could ask something like, what's your favourite brownie recipe? But I don't think that would get me too excited. So my cats love brownies or something, you know. Oh, no, that's awful. I'm going to have to think. No. So the ones that work the best are, I've got like 8 different types that I teach people. But the first one is the surprising statement. So who will be a surprising type of person or thing that would love brownies? Somebody you wouldn't expect, or somebody wouldn't expect to be a brownie lover. Can you think of anything? Or something unexpected people might not know about brownies, or something?
I think, yeah. I mean, I suppose I could perhaps ask them a question about how you make brownies, perhaps with maybe one of the ones with the recipes in. Some people like cocoa brownies, some people like just chocolate-based brownies.
Now I know what I'm getting at. Okay, so you could say something like, what will be a really unusual ingredient to put in a brownie but actually tastes quite nice? Can you think of anything?
Something vegetable, courgette. Yeah, see, I'm a Marmite. I don't like Marmite, but other people in my house do like Marmite, and they've tried the Marmite chocolate you can get, but they weren't convinced. Chili.
Yeah, chili. So, I mean, chili is getting more common, isn't it? But you could put something like, you know, would you eat a brownie with would you eat a Marmite brownie or something like that? And it doesn't have to actually even reflect that much what's in your content. It's just a way of getting people to open. And you obviously need to have some kind of fleeting reference to it. But that's the kind of thing
I would do. You know, would you eat a Marmite covered brownie or something like that? Questions work really well. Yeah. Or why Marmite brownies are selling out in Sainsbury's or something like that. Yeah. So that's the kind of thing I would be that sort of surprising shock factor. And I know what you're saying about, oh, sometimes they sound a bit ridiculous and silly or whatever, but consistently when I test my email subject headers, the things that get the best, and obviously if you're starting an email newsletter, you do have to experiment a little bit, but the things that get the best open rates for me are usually those kind of, they're either a question or they're some sort of surprising statements. So I've got one that went out yesterday for my live event, which is, you might regret this. And we put the name of the person, you might regret this, Heidi. And it sounds a bit threatening, but actually it's about if you've got your eye on an event or a course or a program that you want to do and you procrastinate and you don't book and how you get FOMO. So the subject header is probably stronger and more kind of like attention getting than the actual content, but you do kind of need that. So I would have what I do for inspiration for headlines all the time is I save something. So if I open something in my inbox and I think, oh, that got my attention, I'll save it. And so that's what I would recommend that you do. So when you're the people that you do subscribe to, although probably a lot of us are getting a lot less emails now because of GDPR.
Yeah, that's one good thing about it.
Yeah, but the kind of controversial statement, the surprising statement, the question, those things tend to work well. And a lot of people get quite self-conscious about headlines and they're like, oh, well, I don't like that kind of headline. It doesn't work for me. But actually, it's not really about you. It's about your audience and it's about saying...
No, that's always the point.
Yeah, it's about saying what it will take basically to get them to open that email. So questions often work really well. Some kind of element of surprise. Contrast works really well, which is why the Marmite brownie thing works well. Would you eat a Marmite brownie or would you eat a I was trying to think of something else. Chili's getting more common, isn't it, to put chili in chili powder. Would you put chili powder in your brownie? Something like that. I would experiment with those sorts of things. I mean, even like things like brownies at a barbecue or something like that, you know, but people might think you're talking about brownies. You'd have to say chocolate, wouldn't you? might think you're bringing along like brownies as in if you're not from the UK and you're listening to this, you probably don't know what brownies are. How do we describe brownies as in brownie packs, Heidi, like the kids go to? What's
a chocolate brownie?
So you make chocolate brownies, but we have brownies, which are like, it's like a club that children can go to.
Oh, yes. That's what you get when you look in Google for brownies.
Is that what you get when you Google brownies? Do you get brownies as in the kids club thing, do you, when you Google it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's
some interesting things come up sometimes when you Google brownies.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you could have a bit of fun. So that would be the other thing I would really think about with subject headers. We have got a lot of resources that you can use in the membership around emails and coming up with good headers. So in our email calls, we've got some content like that. But I definitely would have a play around and definitely go for the things that are going to get people's attention, because otherwise it's a waste of your email. If you can't get people to open it, it's just, you know.
That's right.
And so the last thing I would say about your email newsletter as well is that just because you start something in one way, it doesn't mean that you have to stick with it. So, you know, you might try it for a few months and you might think, well, actually, this might work better. I think the trouble is, and this sounds like it's what's happened to you so far, is that you're so worried about doing it wrong that you don't do anything.
That's definitely it. So, and I came across a term the other day called procrastinate baking, I think it is. And it's where people procrastinate and they go off and do baking. And I thought that summed me up perfectly.
Yeah, you wouldn't catch me doing that. Oh, my God. No one would want to eat my baked goods. So hopefully that's given you a few ideas. Do you feel like that's given you a few ideas?
No, definitely. I've got lots of things to think about there. And as you say, perhaps really I just need to just dive in there and get started. And if things don't work, I can just change it next time.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's all about. And with email marketing, a lot of it's about experimentation, even with the headlines and things like that. You know, you try something, it doesn't work as well as you thought it would. So next time you try something different. And I also would suggest that maybe this is not necessarily a newsletter, but as you get closer to those dates, those kind of key dates where people are going to be in the market for buying things. And the other thing as well is if you ever get birthday brownies, people buying brownies for birthdays, again, it's just going back to the children's party thing, but I mean, people probably aren't buying brownies for their own birthday. Would they be buying brownies for their own birthday?
Some people have done, so they haven't got to, if they're having a party and they haven't got to have a cake, but it does tend to be, so either someone's going to a birthday party and they take the brownies with them, or it's their daughter's birthday, something like that. So
But you could try and find out when their birthday is, and then you could send your customer the birthday offer. So you could email them if you can get their birthday, even if they're buying somebody else's. Then you can, you know, if their birthday's in September, in August, you can say if you want to treat yourself or you want someone in your family to treat you. So there's so many different things that you can do, and this is why this is why email marketing is so powerful. You know, there's so many ways that you can reach people, and you can keep making offers to people in different ways. And as long as you're, you know, you're offering them something valuable, and you know, maybe you're offering them a discount or a bit of a deal, then people are usually quite happy to stay in your inbox. So I hope that's been helpful. I look forward, are we looking forward to seeing what you do and how you use it.
I'll make sure I send you a copy.
Yeah, definitely. And thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You've just been listening to The Janet Murray Show. If you enjoyed the show, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more marketing tips that will help you make more money in your business.